Hey, hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry. And thank you again for tuning into Larry's Biblecast. I sure appreciate, I'm stumbling over my words this morning. I appreciate you tuning in to this recording, my own personal podcast. So I want to thank you again. Appreciate you. Listen, the Lord has put it on my heart to begin to read through the book of Romans. And so this is part two. This is part two of the book of Romans. I'm in chapter one. I did a previous one, chapter one of the book of Romans, 1 through 23, I believe it was. So today we're going to be reading verses, chapter one, verses 24 through 32. And very important episode here. And I just really, I think I pretty much try to pour out my heart to whoever is listening to this episode. So I pray that this message or this episode will make sense to you, will kind of stir whoever the listener may be into desiring to follow after God. We're living in a time, saints, that time is getting closer and closer at hand. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ coming back. I know it's been many, many years. It's been centuries since we've known that Christ is coming back. But like the Bible says, the Bible talks about the time that we have. It talks about God's timing and in regard to what we consider it as patient and being long or too long. But the Bible declares that he's being patient for our sake. And I've taken that to heart. I've really taken that verse to heart. I see the world around me. I see how things are changing. I see the things that I've read in the Bible. Some of you might know too, where Jesus talks about there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes. There will be storms. There will be all kinds of things. A lot of unsettledness in the world today. And we have that currently. We have that. We see the wars that are going on between Ukraine and Russia. We see things that are happening now with Israel. Israel has now declared war on a terrorist group. And that's been going on now for over a month now. We're in 30 days as of yesterday, I believe it is, 30 days into this war with Israel declaring war. And of course, you know, you hear a lot of things. You hear, you know, Bible scholars saying that this is lining up to be what the Bible's saying about the end of the world, so to speak. Maybe World War III that we're talking about. That's all kind of things. And so, this is not the purpose of this episode that I wanted to get into. But I felt the urgency in my heart not to talk about the end times or the prophetic times, because you can get a lot of that on YouTube. There's a lot of people out there that are solid teachers, okay, solid teachers that you can search and find. But again, one thing that I will say about this, and I'll go further into what I'm going to talk about, is that the Bible says that these things will happen, but the end is not yet. And these are just signs before the end of these times will happen, or the last days or the end of days, so to speak. But the one thing that sticks out in my mind as I read what Jesus says, and I believe this in Matthew 24, he also says, though, do not fear. Okay, he lets us know that take heart, basically. Do not worry. Do not have anxiety. And I do not. As a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a son of God myself, in other words, a child of God, I should say, I don't have the fear. I don't have anxiety. I don't have concern or worry, because those things have been already talked about in the Bible. So it's just a matter of, you know, at this point, do you know the Lord? Do you know Christ? Are you living in a way that's pleasing to God? And that is more my preparation or preparedness. is even myself, as I'm speaking to you now, I am taking inventory of my own life. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want God to see me in a good light, not in a bad light. And I'm not saying that we have to be performance driven, but I am saying that those of you, like including myself, I love the Lord, and I believe that, you know, my salvation is secure. If I die today, I am going to be in the presence of God, but I want my life to mean something for Him. I want Him to be pleased with me. And you, when it's time for me to go, there's not going to be an issue. There's not going to be a question of, oh, I hope I did everything, or I hope I'm pleasing to the Lord. I hope the Lord will accept me. I don't have those fears. That's the only fear that, if anything, I would say that anybody should have or would have is that. But all the other things that are happening in our world today, they are signs. They are clear signs that we're getting close to the things that what the Bible says is happening. And we have time, though, and we still have time. You have time. So I want to implore you to listen to this long message. I know this is long. You don't have to listen to it in its entirety all in one setting, but I do want you to listen to this episode, and I want you to take heart to what I'm saying, what the Lord has showed us through His word, through the book of Romans. And this is just a part two, I guess, in a long series of readings through the book of Romans. And we're gonna take this, you know, step by step. So I pray that you get something out of this. I pray that it ministers to you. Those of you that may be listening, maybe you want to share this with someone. But again, you can hear this message, you can listen to it more than once. And also, I pray that you share and pray for me. Pray that the Lord begins to just continue to show me more as I study the word, or as I read the word, and the truth comes out in this word, and we discover more. Okay. So again, I know there's going to be some breaks in between the time you'll see these episodes, but please bear with me. I am not a full-time podcaster. I am just an individual that wants to share God's word. And I believe that this is time for us to get back to the Lord. Amen. All right. So God bless you, and sit back and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. So we are getting right into the scripture today. I'm so happy that you guys have joined me today. And we're going to get into the continuation, actually, part two of Romans chapter one. And this will be something that I'll be reading probably for a good time now. In Romans, in the book of Romans. So we'll be going through this kind of little by little, or whenever I get time to be able to send out recordings. Again, I want to encourage each of you to keep your alerts on for my podcast from this episode, or the future episodes that I'll be posting. And that way you can get alerts, and you'll know when I've done a recording. So subscribe and definitely share this podcast or episode that you enjoy hearing, maybe the content that I've created, and that way you can share with others about the basically the Lord Jesus Christ and His word. Amen. So last time I recorded, I did Romans chapter 1, part 1, okay? And so I just wanted to finish that. And so we are now, this is, like I said, this is going to be considered part two of Romans chapter one. And we'll go through verses 18 through 32 of this. Okay, so let's before we begin, let's have a word of prayer so that the Lord can be with us and as we open up the scriptures. Father God, we thank you, first of all, for just loving us and caring for us, each and every one of us, Lord God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your just how you feel about us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that today or whenever time that that my listeners are listening to this, you would open their hearts and their minds, Lord God, and open up my heart and mind as I read your scripture, your word, your verses through your Bible, Lord. And I pray that you would just open my mind and my heart to express and explain, I guess, some of these scriptures as well. Lord, I pray that you would just give me wisdom and knowledge and insight, Lord, into some of these scriptures that you want. Tell us what you want us to know and hear. Lord, help us to apply your word to our lives, Lord God. How can we be better, Lord? The purpose of us reading your scriptures and studying your word today is so that we can be better people, so that we can be children of God, so that we can be more like you. We can resemble you, just as, even though faulty as we are, resembling who you are, God, in your essence and your character and your and who you are, Lord God. Let us be truly your children, Lord God. And we thank you. We thank you in advance. We thank you for food and shelter and clothes on our back and just the things that we hopefully don't take for granted every day. But Lord, we thank you for provision. We thank you that you're protecting us. And if we woke up today with breath in our body, we thank you for it. We thank you for a good night's rest. We thank you for our jobs. We thank you for our loved ones, our people that we live with, think people that we that care for us or we care for them, Lord God. And we thank you for each and every one, Lord God. And as we get into your word today, thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. All right. So again, I appreciate each and every one of you who are listening to me at the sound of my voice. So let's get into this. This is, I've read this already. I know some of you might have. You can follow along in your Bibles or just listen as you are going about your day. This is not, I'm not going to say that this is a happy type of verse, but I do appreciate God's truth. But I also appreciate, because we know the background of this, we know that Paul is writing this letter to, I guess, the church in Rome. I'm not sure of all the background. Some of you might know a little bit better than me about some of the background that how this was written. So we want to first of all say that we appreciate Paul's writings in the book of Romans, and he was used of the Lord to pretty much write most of the New Testament here. And so I find Romans to be kind of a really good book when it comes to Christianity, how to hold us accountable as believers, kind of getting back to the basics of living according to him, according to the Lord, and learning about salvation and the faith that we should have. Okay, so let's get right into this, and we're going to start right off I'm reading out of the New Living Translation of the Bible. So some of you might like the New King James Version or the King James. I implore you, whatever version you like, that is fine too. Just, you know, like I said, we're going to continue here. And so as I read, you can follow along or listen along. Okay, so this is considered, it says, God's anger at sin. So verse 18, it says, But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Okay, very, very interesting statement here. Okay, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, People have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. They have no excuse for not knowing God. This is very, forthcoming, just very straightforward in Paul as he's writing it, or as we're reading this. We see that he's telling them, we're building the case. He's kind of like a lawyer that's building the case before he really goes in to tell you. He's saying that God is showing his anger from heaven against sinful and wicked people who suppress the truth by what their wickedness. So it's interesting. That first verse really kind of stands out to me because it's showing that one, God is angry. Okay. And that he's, you know, in heaven, but he's angry about all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And so it's one thing, you know, one thing to remember is that God is angry at sin, but he's really angry at even people who suppress the truth and hide it or cover it up with wickedness, or maybe their intentionality, or maybe they're trying to mislead people. And their whole thing is like, you know, trying to cover things up with their wicked ways or their motives, their evil motives. Okay. And so it's very interesting how this is the first verse in verse 18, as we're reading this, how he begins here. Then listen to this. In verse 19, he says, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. There is no excuse for this. In other words, he's made it obvious. He's made it clear. If he can just say it, or if he can just paint a picture so that you can just really have no excuse, this is what he does. Okay. And this is what Paul talks about in this verse. He says, how does he make it obvious to them? He says in verse 20, he says, for ever since the world was created, okay, which is been around for quite a long time, people have seen the earth and sky. Though everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Isn't that interesting? They have no excuse for not knowing God, because he's made everything to the point where there's intelligence. There is his creation is so obvious that there is a God. There is someone who is powerful, who is divine, that who is eternal. You know, it's interesting that the word eternal power is being used as a description of his, of these qualities that, or of these, of the creation. Like he says, the earth and sky. Okay. So we can look, and you know, we can look at our world today, and we're not talking about, you know, things that man has made. We're talking about all the things that naturally that God has made. In other words, the sun and the moon, the trees, the water, the ocean, right? Rain, how rain is made, how oxygen, and we can breathe oxygen, you know, air in our world. You know, it's so many things that we can look at our creation around us to show that there has been someone who of intelligence that has made everything around us. Right. We see the earth. Like I said, we got, you know, what, 7 days, we got a seasons. We have four seasons. We have a 365 days in a year. We're a planet that is like the third planet from the sun. So that means we are purposely positioned to where we're not close to the sun, to where we're too hot, and we're not too far from the sun, to where we burn up. And of course, you know, all depends on where you live at here in our country, in our world, or on our planet. You can say, well, we have too much heat. I know I could say that now because where we moved to, we have a lot of warm temperatures here. But at the same time, it's even though it feels super hot at, during the summer, it doesn't burn us up, right? And but we can also see how we're not too far away from the sun to where we're cold. The seasons are we have pretty much some places, again, I can refer back to saying some places where it depends on where you live at, you know, you can experience almost four seasons. We get rain and everything else, right? To water our planet. We have air, oxygen to breathe. You know, human beings can live on this planet. The nature provides fruit, provides food and a way to grow. So there is so much that we can look around our world that God has already created and definitely see that someone of a higher being, whatever you people may want to call him other than God, that he's the creator. He is the master architect, like I've heard people say, the master architect. He is the one, right? And his invisible qualities, in other words, wind, we don't see wind, we don't see air, those are invisible qualities. We see the stars, we see the universe, we see the galaxies, and all things, you know, whether they are fish and creatures, animals, things like that, we can see all these wonderful things and all these created things and creative things that God has done in our world that shows that there is a creator. We see plants and trees and flowers and all kind of things that are all working together, and they are being sustained. The sun, the moon is being sustained. It doesn't burn out. It doesn't stop showing. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? We don't lose anything because God is constantly sustaining everything. You know, our planet is on an orbit. It's on a turning thing. Every 24 hours a day, 365 days is going around the sun. Each planet is going on its own orbit, and they're also turning on its axis. This is the stuff that I remember in grade school as we learned about astronomy, and just in a classroom setting like that, where you're learning about astronomy and you seeing what the teachers have taught you about astronomy and how the planet and the planet is made, how the galaxy is made, you can't help but understand that, yes, there is a God who has made continuously everything. Isn't that amazing? So I just wanted to, you know, I guess park right here and just talk about this verse, but it's phenomenal, right? So through everything God made, people can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. And listen to this after that verse, that sentence. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Isn't that amazing? God wants you to know him. He doesn't want to be a secret. He doesn't want to be a mystery. Wants it to be a mystery. He wants to be known by his creation. Okay? He's made it clearly visible. Clearly visible, like the Bible says, of his qualities, to where there's no excuse to not know who he is. Amen. So verse 21 is where we really, you know, Paul really gets into it. And he says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. So right here, he sums it up in a way. He goes into more detail later as we read. But we see here, he says that, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Let's stop right there. One of the greatest sins that we can do as believers even is we don't give God thanks. Okay, we need to be thanking God and grateful for God for everything that's in our lives. Okay, and I think this is the sin that is greater, is great, you know. But in the beginning of this verse, it says, yes, they knew God. So they acknowledged that there's a God, but they wouldn't worship him. They wouldn't give him thanks. They wouldn't acknowledge him, basically. And instead, they begin to replace. Okay, it says, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The problem is they begin to think of foolish things. They begin to replace how God is in their own mind. In other words, they want to create God in their own image, not in what God wants to be known as, but they want to create him in their own image. Therefore, what happens is that we become God. Now, in other words, yeah, I get it. You're God, but I want to become God. Now, this is the same thing as putting yourself on the throne. It's kind of like what happened with Satan. Satan wanted to be on the throne. He wanted to be acknowledged. He wanted to be worshiped. He wanted to have all the glory, right? And this is how this is showing that even though people knew God, these people that he's describing in Romans, that they knew of God, but they wouldn't worship him. They wouldn't give him thanks. They wouldn't they wouldn't acknowledge him. They wouldn't see him as the all-powerful, almighty, creative being or creative one who created us. But instead, the creative ones here in this verse, they wanted to be the creator, or they wanted to minimize God into someone or something that they wanted him to be, all right? So they said here, they think up foolish ideas. Isn't that interesting? They think of foolish ideas of what God was like. But as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Listen to this. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Listen, there's nothing wrong with birds, animals, and reptiles, as a matter of fact. I think these are God's wonderful creations. I love animals. I love cats and dogs. Really, dogs, really. I'm more of a dog person. But it's so interesting that, and this is, we've seen throughout history where different cultures and different religions and different people, they worship these idols. They made them out of these bronze images or statues and whatnot. And they make them into a lion, or they make them into a some kind of dog or half human or stuff like that. We see all kind of things. And some of them, of course, they consider it art, but there's sometimes you see some of these, and these were considered worship as idols. They've even gotten now to where it's evil stuff, that, you know, monsters with wings and stuff like that. It's all kind of things that are happening out there. But remember, these are things that man has created. They created these things, and then all of a sudden they give them some kind of authority or divinity, or they begin to worship them, or they begin to say, well, this is God here, you know, instead of the invisible God that made it all the things that we now see, whether it's the animals, like they say, all animals, birds, reptiles, stuff like that. If you notice, he uses these different character or these observations about who they replace them. They replace God with birds, animals, and reptiles, okay? And, or look like mere people, see? So made, in other words, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people. So what these people are doing is they're creating idols and statues or whatever it is, that they have some kind of image. And they're saying, now, this is God right here. This is not what the invisible God, since we don't see God, we don't see him. Or maybe they say he's not making himself known, but he already has. They're creating him in their image now. We take it from God has created us in his image and his likeness, but now it's changed. Now it's like, you know, we're creating God in our image in the way we want him to look like. We want him to look like a mere person like us, a bird, an animal, reptile, bug, whatever it is. They become more and more creative in their sinfulness and in their wickedness. And remember, it goes back to what we were saying in the beginning of this portion, and it's saying that his anger was against wicked people who suppressed the truth in their wickedness. But in other words, they wanted to suppress the truth by their wickedness. So if they create an idol, or they create an image or something replacing God, they would rather have something that they can kind of like control, like this, you know, this is God now. He's just like us. See, you know, and they may have a statue of a person that, you know, they create them in their own image, in their own likeness. And therefore they will say, well, this is God here. See? And so it's just very interesting how this is happening. And listen to this. Unfortunately, they said they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. Okay. And instead, what happens then? They become more and more wicked. They become more and more entrenched in what they believe and how they believe. We see that in the culture we live today. There is people that will believe the lie, and they will continue to believe the lie so much so that that lie has become so much as the truth. They are totally 110% convinced that this is the way it is. And some people, unfortunately, know that it's a lie, but they don't care. And these are the people that the Bible's talking about them being so entrenched in their wickedness that even if they know the truth, they don't want to know the truth. They don't want to be a part of the truth. They don't want to speak about the truth because they enjoy wickedness more than they enjoy the truth. Amen. So listen, we're going to take a quick little break and we're going to continue on with this. I'm glad that you joined me today, and I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. Okay, so welcome back. So let's continue on here in our reading. And we are in verse 24, and it says, "So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen." Okay, this is a pretty kind of a good chunk of a verse here, or verses that we can talk about. So as a result of the things that they traded God for, instead of them knowing God as who he should be, as our eternal Creator, they decided to minimize him and bring him down to basically an idol, someone they can manage, that someone that they can identify him as, instead of identifying him as the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God who is eternal and divine. They decide, we want to minimize him to this statue, and this is what he looks like. He should look like this. He should look like a person like us, or he should look like an animal, or look like a reptile or a bird or what have you, or maybe a combination of all these things. And so because they did that, the Bible is saying here that so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, your heart has been corrupted now. So in other words, whatever ideas that people have humanity have, they begin to change. They begin to change. Like, this is what we want. We want this. We don't want what God has created and shown himself to be. We don't want to worship him and thank him for all the good things and wonderful things he does. We don't want to see him as a God of the universe and God of all creation, the God of us, the God of earth, sky, moon, stars, all the things that we see. Instead, we want to minimize him to a statue, minimize him so that we can manage him and we can call him whatever we want to call, and kind of like put him on a shelf. You know, isn't that interesting how sometimes we're guilty of just putting God on the shelf, and we only take God off the shelf, kind of like one of those idols, and just sit him up there, and we'll worship him whenever we feel the need. We'll acknowledge him, or we will talk about him whenever we feel like, you know, everything else, the rest of the week is ours. You know, maybe on Sunday, maybe we'll give him a little time on Sunday or whatever, and then we'll just pull him off the shelf, maybe dust him off or whatever. Maybe we use him once a year for a holiday. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, this is just like, I feel like that's how some of us can be. You know, some people in our world can be, in our society can be, right? You know, some people don't go to church until it's a Christmas or a Thanksgiving or a whatever it might be, right? So we gotta remember that God is a God of a 24/7, right? Every day we wake up in the morning, we go to sleep at night, thanking God, appreciating him for everything he does. Okay, so listen to this though. He says, as a result of this, okay, actually, let me go back to in verse 24. He says, so God abandoned them. Okay. And I think that we have to, this is something that's very dangerous, because God abandoning someone, that means he's going to let you, he's not going to restrain you anymore. He's not going to, even though that his desire is for you not to do something that's evil, something that's wrong, not to go down that wrong path. If you keep or persistently doing or wanting to go that direction, he'll just let you go and say, fine, go ahead and have at it. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. Go ahead and do exactly what you just want to do. Okay, so we're seeing here, he says, God abandoned them to do whatever shameful thing their hearts desired. Okay, so no one can say that God will ever control you. Okay. In other words, he's allowing man to do whatever it is. He's like, if you want to go off the cliff, then go for it. Then go for it. Just have a good time, you know? And we think about that in our own lives. Think about your life, just like I think about my life. Before you came to the Lord, before you acknowledged God in your life, before you came, you know, surrendering your life over to him, what was you living like? Were you living like God was there? Did you care whether or not God was ashamed of what you were doing? Did you ever live like God was angry? Did you know? Did you care whether he was angry or sad or grieved over what you was doing, your lifestyle? No, we did what we wanted to do. And God, sometimes He'll allow that to happen. He'll allow you to go down that path. Okay. He'll allow you to go down that path and whatever it is, and pray that hopefully you don't go too far and that you make it out of it. But I praise God that the time that I was, basically a prodigal or a wayward son, he didn't, you know, he allowed me to be able to come back to him. And he was patient with me. And so I'm grateful for that. And so I'm not sure what your testimonies are out there, but I'm grateful that God was patient with me, because I was very hard-headed. I was very resistant to his calling and to his promptings by the Holy Spirit. I was resistant. I grew up in a Christian home, but I still had my own way of what I wanted to do. So I became the idol to myself, right? Whatever my desires was, whatever I wanted to do, I went and did them. I went and acted or performed however way I wanted to do in the world, right? And just did whatever, you know, whatever consider, like you said, when it feels good, you just do it, right? And so I'm guilty of that. But I'm thankful that God has brought me back, and he's kept me from going so far that I couldn't have come back. Amen. So I just wanted to, that's kind of my testimony. So how many of you understand that and can relate to this actually? So it says, listen to this. It says, as a result, they did vile, degrading things with each other's bodies. Okay, this is physical. This is physical. They did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. He's talking about people. Verse 25, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why, now this verse 26, God abandoned them to do shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. Okay. Verse 27, and the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with each other, with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserve. Okay, let's stop right there. Now we're getting more into details. We're getting into not just sin, but the results of sin, the characteristics of sin, the things that happen because of sin, because of the turning away from God. Okay, we see that these are the things that happen. Okay, so now we're seeing the transformation or the results of these things again, like it says, but it's kind of like a perversion. Okay, so. And I explain this like this. Like he said, this is why he abandoned them, okay, to do shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. Now, all of you, I'm sure, know that we're living in a culture, in a time, in a day to where this is the norm, okay? This is the norm. There are women who desire other women. There are women that rather have a relationship with each other. They rather have sex with each other. They would rather marry one another than to marry a man. That, you know, and we're living in a world, not just because it's going on, but we have a lot of people that says, go ahead. It's fine. It's okay. God's intended normal way or intended way of living of a man and a woman is to have a man and a woman love and marry each other, one another, to have sex with each other, not a woman on with another woman or a man with another man. Okay, and look, physically, sexually, sex organs in the body of a man and the body of a woman, that the way God has designed a man and a woman is to procreate and to have sex with one another in this way. Okay. And so for a woman to have sex or be intimate with another woman in that way, it's not the way God intended. Okay. I know people are saying, well, this is not, it's sinful, it's ungodly. Anything that God did not intend is considered sin in God's eyes. The same thing when it goes on further. It says men did shameful things with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Okay? This is the Bible talking. And this is the Bible talking in a time in a world that was going on. But listen, comparing this to what is happening now. So now, not only has it been happening since the time of Paul, but it's still happening now, and it's happening more prevalent in our world today than it ever has been. And now it's becoming normalized. It's become legalized. It's become our government, our nation has now adopted it. And now it goes from what you're doing as being shameful till now it's prideful. Now it's out and open. Now let's don't just keep it intimately. Listen, heterosexuals, like straight people, we don't broadcast or should not broadcast our sexuality out in public. This is something that's intimate between your husband, your wife, in other words, it should be your husband and wife as being married together for the purposes of enjoyment with each other, intimacy with each other, and also to procreate and have children. But now, now, unfortunately, not only is that being done openly or from being intimately in secret with one another, but now it's open and it's broadcast, it's televised, it's in music, it's in culture. It's a part of our government. It's a part of our laws. It's a part of regulating it. It's not even regulated, I should say, but it's all a part of this whole, our whole nation. I'm talking about the United States now, okay? Other states have legalized, same-sex marriage. And again, what are they saying? Well, you should love whoever you want to love. You should want to be loved or show love to whoever. See, so I'm not saying that you cannot love someone of the same sex in a way that is affectionate, but intimately to where, and remember, these are the things that people say on the surface, but we really mean we want to have sex with each other. We really mean I want to see that woman as my husband, not my wife. I want to replace that man with this woman, or vice versa. I want to place the man that I want to love and have my intimacy with and my marriage to, I want this man to be my wife. So someone is now has the wife role and someone has the husband role. There is also the issue of children. And now just recently I just watched a video on the news that reported about two men who lived together. They lived together. They got married, I believe. They were actually legally married in this state. And they began to talk about they want to have a child. And of course, again, naturally, a man can't carry a baby, can't have a child, can't bear a child. A woman can do that, but not a man. But in this video, now they want to artificially inseminate or create an embryo, and so that they can now have a child, and this could be their child together. And when the laws or the health insurance won't cover this, they're now saying that, oh, well, this is considered discrimination against me because I'm gay. Because I want to have a life with this man, and I want to have a child with this man who is my husband, or maybe he is his wife. And these are the type of ways in which God has abandoned mankind or individuals that now have traded or have suppressed the truth by their wickedness, according to the Bible, have now suppressed the truth. They know the truth, but they have now suppressed it and covered it now with their wickedness until their ways of how and what they desire to do. And so instead of God stopping them or saying this should not be, or the word of God that they now know, they decide, God says, I'm going to abandon you and allow you to walk in this way. And as a result, you will go deeper and further into your sin, into your way of thinking. And you could tell in this day that we're living in, there's some people you just can't talk to. You can't reason with them. You can't tell them this is wrong. You can't just say God is, this is against God's natural way of living. of his natural way of intimacy, his natural way of his creation. That we can't tell him that, because, and the reason why I would rephrase it and say they will not accept it, and they won't accept it as being something that is true, because they love what they want, or they want what they want so badly that they're not going to see any other way. So if you and I can't convince them, God won't either. He won't convince them. He will abandon them. He will allow them. He will let them enjoy their sin and their lifestyle, and it will begin to evolve more and more and more. Amen. This is so heavy. This is so heavy, but it's so true. And this is the word of God. Okay, let's keep on here. Verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking. Okay, and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They have no God. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. As I said before, this is a very heavy verse. Okay, this is verse 32. Listen, this is a picture of our world today. Okay, this is a picture of our world today. This is the picture of our culture today. If you, like me, have looked around in our world on the news, on movies, on shows, on television shows, in music industry, just in your, basically in your circle of your world, basically, you have seen this. And unfortunately, it has become normalized. And if you or I don't go along with it, we are wrong. You are wrong. We're living in a day and a time, unfortunately, that the things that were considered right is now considered wrong. People will tell you that, well, that was the way it used to be, but now you got to accept what it is now. You see, they will ostracize you. They will, like they say, cancel you for speaking the truth, because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what is considered true. What is considered godly? What if you're saying God says this is wrong? Well, God is wrong. See, they don't want that. And I'm saying this to people that they're closed off. They've moved away, and this is as a result of God abandoning them to do whatever it is they want to do. They're not open to change their lifestyle or to be anything different. And unfortunately, as we see in here, there are also other characteristics that they are saying. Their lives became what? Full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. You know people like that? Have you seen people like that? That they are full of this already. And this is as a result of you walking away from God. If you are on a path, if a person is on a path, on this path here, God will do everything, love you, try to love you as much as he possibly can. Because guess what? God's love is way stronger and more. It's more greater than us. We will lose our patience with somebody quicker than God will ever lose his patience. His grace and his mercy is is everlasting, it says. That's what the Bible says. But I think in this way of we're interpreting this, it sounds like God will love you enough to allow you to live your life the way you want to live it. I'm not going to have you hating me, but if you, I love you and I pray that you come back, and I will just allow you to go ahead and go down that path. Remember, I use the example of my testimony of being out in the world, doing the things I wanted to do. And I can tell you totally, completely honest, I don't believe that God, I believe God was protecting me, but I also believe that God was allowing those things, those experiences in my life to just happen. And it was almost like I can compare what it's like to live for him and what it's like to not live for him. It's dark. It's a place that you're not truly happy. You're not truly happy. And no matter what amount of things that you do out in the world, it's not fulfilled. It's not a fulfilling thing. You might enjoy it for now, but you can get everything you want. I mean, whether it's money, whether it's sex, whether it's whatever it may be, whatever you chase, whatever your flesh desires to chase it. But once you get it, or once you've indulged in it, you still find yourself somewhat empty. You still find yourself somewhat at a place where you're not fulfilled, and it's not fulfilling. It's almost like getting as much as you want to eat at a buffet, and you're sitting there like, oh God, I want more, or I didn't get enough, or I didn't get a chance to eat all the cake or all the ice cream, so to speak. Listen, God puts standards in place in our life for a reason. God put the standard of how he wanted humanity to be so that we wouldn't experience what we're experiencing right now. You know, I always tell people, God is not trying to prevent you from having fun and enjoying your life. But there are parameters, and there are things that God has established way in the beginning, before we were ever born. In other words, he has a law of what is right and wrong. And if we go outside of those boundaries, this is where we're finding ourselves. In a place now where what is considered right, I mean, what is considered wrong is now considered right. What God considers as evil, we are now parading it as though it is right. It is the right thing to be, the right thing to do. It feels right. It makes sense to us in our minds. And could it possibly be that, like he says here in verse 28, he says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, remember that. Remember in verse 28, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. That's a very key verse there, because remember, sin becomes a part of the way you think. In other words, if you reject God and you reject acknowledging God, like the Bible was saying about worshiping God and acknowledging who he is, then he will abandon you to your thinking, and your thinking will change. Your foolish thinking. And it says, and let them do things that should never be done. Could it possibly be that we're living in a time now, in a culture now, that sin has gotten so great and it's become so normalized that the way people think, it's become normal. People have been abandoned, and the Bible says they call it foolish thinking. Well, it's no longer foolish to these people. It's no longer foolish to the culture we live in. It's no longer considered a shameful thing. In other words, it's something that we enjoy doing, or it's something that should be done, and we need to pass laws for it. We need to legalize it. And guess what? It's just like I said about sin, that it never gets enough. The flesh never gets enough. We can see the progression of it in our culture as we live in today, that it starts off little by little, and then it begins to grow, and it becomes not only encouraged, like it says in the end of this chapter, it becomes encouraged, it becomes normalized, it becomes like, we all should do this. This is how you should think. And becomes, guess what? Even people like you and me will begin to convince ourselves even, or we begin to think, well, you know, times is changing. We should kind of adapt to what's going on. Isn't that somewhat of the truth? We're talking Christians here. We're talking people that know the word, know the Bible, what the Bible says. And yet even ourselves will begin to kind of think within ourselves, like, you know, we shouldn't hate these people. We're not hating. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that we should hate the sin. But that's where it begins. Hate the sin and not the sinner, right? And I'm not just talking about one particular lifestyle or sin. I'm talking about all sin. I'm talking about those of us that indulge in anything that is wrong. I'm not just talking about what we just discovered here about women who desire to have sex with other women, and men desire to, you know, like the Bible says, have desires for one another, for other men, right? We're talking about any other thing that we can call out, whether it's, doing harmful things to your body, doing murders, and like it says, it talks about murder and strife and gossiping and every kind of wickedness, greed and hate. This is, man, remember, verse 29, it begins to talk about all these different things that are as a result of abandoning your thinking toward God, replacing him. See? So before a person can say, well, there's an idol, you've already replaced him in your thinking, in the way you think. You don't want him there anymore. Well, you know, God is too righteous for me. Nobody can live like that. This is your thinking. And so what happens is your thinking begins to get corrupt, and you begin to reason, and it begins to make sense, and it begins to be normalized. It begins to be something that really desires in your heart that it just makes sense. And it's just too hard to be what God wants you to be. Well, listen, God's not trying to get you to be anything but to love him, and God will do the work within you. God will begin to work on you. He begin to show your sin to you. He will begin to express, this is how my desire is for you, not what you're doing. He's done that for me in my life. He began to show me who I should be in myself. The things that I was doing was not his best for me. Listen, when we get to the place where we want what God wants, where man goes back to say, I want what you want, God, and you are my God. I worship you. I adore you. I love you. I want what you want in my life. No matter what it is, he's going to tell you. He's going to show you. He's going to guide you out of, whether it's the lifestyle, whether it's the habits, whether it's the whatever it is that you may be either not even just struggling with, but maybe there's things that you just didn't know that they were sinful, and God wasn't happy with those things, and God wasn't pleased with them. And so it starts with having a mind or an obedience to him, to where you desire to want what he wants for you. And I'm talking to those of you that might be listening that are at that place. So I pray that, and I'm going to tell you this before we close. God wants the best for you, and he loves you no matter what. I've been out there. I've done some things, guys, that I'm ashamed to talk about. And I'm sure that there are some things that you guys have either indulged with too. But I can definitely tell you that God loves you. He loved me in spite of what I was doing and the path and the choices that I were making. They were shameful choices, but you know what? God says, I love you, and I don't want you doing that anymore. I don't want you indulging in that anymore. I don't want you participating in those things anymore. And guess what? He will show you what's right and what's wrong, what's considered his way, what he loves in you. God knows best. Whether you want to believe it or not, God knows what's best because he created us. But we won't understand that until we surrender and submit to his way. The stuff that we just read is as a result of people who didn't want it God's way. They wanted to turn God's light off. They want to put him on the shelf. They want to call him religious. They want to call people who follow him religious. They want to put him in a corner as a church person, church thing. But God is more than that, just that. He's more than a religious being. Religion has nothing to do with it. We're the ones that put him in that space. Oh, God is religious. I don't want to talk about religion. This is the first thing we say. People say that when they talk about God. Oh, we're talking about that Bible. Oh, it's, you know, I don't want to talk about religion. What is religion? Think about it. Think about that. What is religion? Religion, it can be identified and described as anything like we do now with what our lifestyle is, right? But what has religion become? What has religion become in our world, in our culture today? And what is that compared to God, who is outside of religion, outside of the confines of our identity? We got to get back to him. And listen, we still have time. You still have time. So with that, let's close with a word of prayer again. And I pray that if you're still out there, you're trying to make that decision, you're trying to decide, you know, this is some harsh talk. This is some straight kick in your face verse. But it's true. It's truth. And I, even though I'm uncomfortable with it, even though it offends me, even though it offends my belief or what I desire, what I want for my life or what I feel is right. Inside, I know that this is true, and I know that what I'm doing is wrong, and I know that the life that I'm living is wrong. And I can't put my finger on it, but I know that God loves me, and I know he's all truth. If you're that person right now and you're listening to this, I beg you, I implore you to decide today, this second, to give your life and your heart to God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on a cross. This was not a religious thing. This was not no religion. God sent his Son to die physically on a cross, crucify himself because of our sin. Sin that is full of these characteristics that we just read. About the quarreling, about the murder, the greed, the hate, the envy, the wickedness, the deception, the lying, the malicious behaviors and gossip and backstabbers and haters of God. Listen, we all fit these categories. We all fit them. Every single one I do. I have been indulging in some of this stuff that is described here. So he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for those, for these ugly sins, these ugly things that the worst of, that we see the worst in humanity right now, that we're currently indulging in, that we're compromising ourselves in. God says, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. The blood on the cross that was shed for you was shed for your sin, for my sin, for all humanity's sin. Listen, you can never say that someone is just pointing a finger at you, because we all have fallen short. We all fit these categories. This verse of scripture, these passages is talking about every single one of us. Every single one of us. Just because I'm reading it, I am a part of this. And God has said, this is what humanity has come to. My creation. Listen, if you're ready to make that change right now, let's pray. Let's pray and receive God's salvation. For real, not fake, not half-heartedly. Not, well, I'll do it right now. No, like seriously, in other words, give your life over to him. Surrender to him. Denounce all the things that you thought was right and turn away from that. Repent. Like the Bible says, repent. What that means is that ask for forgiveness and turn from the lifestyle, turn from the behavior, turn from the activities, stop doing the things that you're doing and getting involved with, and turn to God with everything you have in you. That's 100%, a 360 degree turn. Let's pray right now. Father God, I know this was a very straightforward, harsh message, but at the same time, you want us to see how you hate sin, how this is not a part of your plan. This is not a part of your design. God, help us to come and commit our lives to you, repent and turn to you, surrender our lives to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the individual right now that might be listening to this message. Father, convince him or her that what they are doing is wrong. And that you love them though, but you're not going to continue to accept the lifestyle of their sin. You're not going to continue that. Lord, if the person that's listening to you right now wants to come to you, I'm going to pray with them and I pray that you hear them. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've been doing. I'm sorry for displeasing you and how you've been feeling about me. And I know you love me, but I want to come back to you. I want to be loved by you. I want you to be my heavenly Father. And I accept your son, Jesus Christ. I accept the death that the horrible death that he had on the cross for me, the blood that was shed for me. God, I'm sorry. I repent of my sins. I repent of the things that I've done. And I want to come to you. And I want to surrender my life to you. I want to give my life to you. I want to live for you, God. Lord, help me. I don't know what it's like to live for you. I don't know the first thing or first verse to read in the Bible. But God, help me. Guide me and direct me. Show me who I can be accountable to, who I can talk to. Show me, guide me on a church that I can go to that won't judge me, but will help me. Will help me get closer to you. Lord, I thank you that you love me no matter what, and that you'll receive me. And God, I want to accept your salvation, your free gift of salvation right now. And I want to live for you. I don't want to just call you God, but I want to call you my Lord and my Savior. I want to call you my Father, my Heavenly Father. Continue to guide and direct me. I thank you so much for blessing me. For blessing me each and every day. Thank you, Lord, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you pray that prayer and you meant it, and I don't care if you didn't pray it like I prayed it, but I want you to know that God heard your prayer and God is wanting to be known by you. He doesn't want to make it a mystery. He doesn't want to make it hard for you to find him. He wants you to come to him and thank God that you still have time. Thank God that nothing happened where you died or Jesus came back and, you know, it was too late. The end of the world happened or something. I just want you to be grateful and thankful that if you made that decision today, you made the greatest decision of your life. I'm not going to tell you that life of changing toward him is going to be easy. But at the same, I'm not going to make that promise to you. But you took the first step. And listen, if you were to pass away right now, if you were to die right now, if you were to leave this life right now, you will be with him. And you will be embraced by him. And you will be loved by him and welcomed into heaven. Okay? So, man, like, I'm happy for you. And I pray that you made that decision. And I pray that if you have not, that you do it soon. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't say, oh, I'm not ready. I know all of us have said that to some degree. We're not ready. I'm not ready. I want to have fun still. I'll do it when I get older. I'll do it when whatever. But do it now. Don't wait. Give your life to him right now. Do you know that there's so many things God wants for you? So many, much more things instead of the path that you're taking. And if you're listening to me, and you know someone that needs your help, pray with them. Love them and pray with them. Pray every day for them if you're not talking to them. Speak to them kindly, kind words. But if they ask you about their, how you feel about how they're living or what they're doing, tell the truth and live and give them the word. Give them the Bible scriptures. Talk about it and say, look, I know this is hard to take. And you asked me. You asked me what I thought. And you asked me what you made. Maybe the question is, what do you think God thinks? I implore you, you got to tell the truth. You got to tell the truth. You got to speak up for the truth. Remember what we read in Romans. It just said that in chapter 1. And what did it say? They suppress the truth because of their wickedness. So we don't want to be in that category of suppressing the truth. We don't want to condone wickedness. We don't want to condone sin. We want to be a light in a world that is dark and wicked. That's about all I have. I know my time is pretty long here, but I feel burdened in this time that we're living in this culture that we see all the things that is happening in a world that has normalized sin and to no degree. As believers, we're now a minority. We're not the majority out here. We are the minority. But I pray, even as this message goes out, I pray that there is someone, just someone out there that is wanting the truth, need to hear the truth, need to hear a voice among the voices that they're hearing out there. I pray that this voice that you hear will make sense to you. God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon. Again, keep the alerts open. You're going to be able to hear this same message on Spotify. You'll hear it on iHeartRadio, even Apple Podcasts, and any place else that you can get and listen to this podcast. I pray that this message, this Bible reading was good for you like it was good for me. And I pray that it blesses you. I pray that it leads you to Him. Thank you again for listening and sharing your time. God bless you. God bless your family. I'll be talking to you soon.